Hello, Hope Church. Good morning. Oh, sorry, I thought someone was pointing. Okay. Right, good morning. My name is Abena, and you can call me Abby. I'm delighted, as always, and thank you, John, for trusting me to share today on a special day like this. I'm a bit emotional because, as maybe the parents who are having their children baptized, you will know what I mean by that, because today I... Yeah, but throughout worship as well, which was powerful, I felt God speaking to me and saying that we all have a call, and I saw pictures of my journey. And growing up as a Catholic, a very committed Catholic girl, and how God said to me, you've been on a journey. My dad was a very Catholic, committed Catholic, but he felt the need to invite someone from the charismatic renewal to come and teach us about the Holy Spirit. And God said, this was me preparing you. And after the teaching for a week, every evening after dinner, we had this person turn up. And my dad said, we should be open up for the Holy Spirit, that we should speak in tongues. And so sometimes when people say, well, it's the individual journeys, and I stood there and I'm so blessed, that, and I'm thanking God that thank you for the journey that I've been on, that all of this you were directing me to a point in my life where I would be deeply in love with Jesus. So God is asking, what is your call? What has been your call, like your call journey? For some of us, we are privileged to grow up in a family which knows God already. For some of us, completely not. We just are not from a church background. But whatever your journey has been, look back to the times that God has called you, spoken to you through a situation, through a friend, through something that you've been through. Amen. Oh God, I pray that I will be composed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you brought us all here together to witness the baptism of our loved ones, of our friends, of our children, of our family. So Lord, for these ones, we pray today that you will speak to them, that the heavens will open today in their lives, and they will hear directly what you're saying to them from today onwards. Yeah, I know that you've been speaking to them, but you will continue to even reveal yourself to them. They will hear clearly the message that you have for them, who they are in you today. And for us who are here today to support, to pray for, Father, we also pray that you help us open our hearts to your words, that Lord, we will not be too familiar with your words, because the words that are coming are words that we know already, but there is the beauty of your word. There is something about the word of God, is so powerful that every time you hear it, when you hear it 1,000 times, it speaks to you 1,000 times. So Lord, we thank you for this word, that it will cut us, it will transform us, it will change us, it will give us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, so what's the title of my message? Unfortunately, I do not have a title. And again, that is one of the risks I've taken today. I have got a phrase there, or a passage there, which says, you are my beloved child, in you I am well pleased. And it comes from, of course, Jesus' baptism. And in as much as I was a bit, I should have a title, because the teacher in me tells me that when you go, a successful lesson should have a title. Every student should be able to communicate. Is it? Okay. But I'm also going to set the church a challenge. I want everyone. So God said, leave it with the people, because I'm going to speak to my people, and I'm going to give each one a title. So the title is going to be what you take from this message. Your title that you're going to give this is how God speaks to you today. So at the end of this session, I'm going to pass the mic around, and you're going to share what your title is. Amen. Right. Good. Right, so I just wanted to start by talking about why baptism, why get baptized, why is it important. And it's even more exciting because the people getting baptized today, for some of them, they have been on this Christian journey for a long time and still decided to get baptized. So that is why it's important to look into why it's important to get baptized. Now, and my first thing that came to mind was the Great Commission. When Jesus finished his ministry and he was leaving, he left this word with his disciples, and he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But also he says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus gave us this commandment. He said, when they have believed, baptize them. So it is also a sign of us believing. When we take the step to get baptized, is because we have chosen to believe the words that we've heard. So it's not necessarily the baptism that is giving us the salvation. Our faith has already given us salvation. Our faith in Jesus, as we will see through the sermon, we are already saved. So the baptism is us obeying what we have heard, a sign that we have obeyed. And how do we know that? Because Jesus himself obeyed. He chose to be baptized. He was of no sin. He was the perfect human. He was God. He was the Son of God. But he had a mission to fulfill. His mission was to follow and obey his Father's commands. His mission was to bring salvation. And in order to do that, he had to submit himself. He had to subject himself to the baptism of repentance. So in doing so, he was not repenting of his sins, because there was no sin in him. But John the Baptist was preaching a repentance message. Repent, repent. I feel like the message has already been delivered through worship. As I stood there and people were, I'm like, God, you are wonderful. Our God speaks. We serve a God who speaks. We just have to listen. And so he turns up and John looks at him and wonders, it's good that you're here, but why are you here? And why are you asking me to baptize you? Why are you asking me to baptize you? Because what I'm saying to people is that repent of your sins, otherwise you will go to hell, or repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Turn away from your sin to be baptized. But you have no sin. I should be the one who should be coming at your feet to receive this from you. But Jesus answered him in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, let it be so, for it is fitting in this way for us to fulfill all righteousness. And as we know, Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. All the things that had built up until the time he came to complete it. Yes. And he was willing to obey, even unto the cross. Amen. But also through baptism, we receive revelation of who Jesus is through this act. And so today I speak to those who are being baptized, and I was talking about heaven's opening. When you are praying, when you're getting ready, when you're going in the water and coming out, I want you to imagine that the heavens have opened. Because even as an earthly parent, I sat down and I'm feeling all this feeling, and I'm getting excited and everything that's going on within me. And I'm thinking, how much more the Heavenly Father, whose will it is for us to come to him, to submit. Heavens are rejoicing today. So as you go in the water, it's your identity, it's who you are. God is saying to you, you are my child. You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased. Yes. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because of anything we've done. And we're going to see that in the passage here. So know today that you are going to receive a new identity. And that identity, you will have to claim it every single day. Every single situation that you go in. And someone spoke about temptations or things that you will go. You will face tribulations. You will face. And most of us who have been Christians for a long time, you can look back and think of the times when Jesus was there, was the only thing you had. Jesus was the only thing you had. You probably didn't even have the words. You probably didn't even have the scriptures to support things, but you had Jesus, and Jesus came through for you. Right. So I want us to look at John's Gospel, chapter 3, where Nicodemus's encounter with Jesus will help us to really understand what it is that we are doing today and why it is relevant what we are doing. So I'm reading from verses 1 and we're reading to verse 15. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life." Amen. Right, so I picked a few lines from this lovely passage that we are all familiar, or most of us are familiar with, and I thought it would be good to unpick some of the truths in there. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he's coming as someone who knows the law. They've studied the law. They are masters of the law. They are custodians of the law. They've kept it going, and they check it that people are following it. And so he comes knowing, but he also comes thinking, you must be of God because of what you're doing. There are signs to prove that you must be of God. I see the signs. What if you didn't see the signs? And so Jesus says to him, "I know where you're coming from, Nicodemus. I know that you have kind of, your curiosity is probably aroused by the fact that you've seen me do the signs, but put the signs aside and think of a new birth. Think of a new renewing of your mind. If you really, really want to know the Father, then you have to have a renewed mind." So Jesus is speaking in earthly language to Nicodemus here, comparing that to a birth, a new birth. Nicodemus is still looking with his lens on and thinking, how is that possible? How? Because I'm old, I can't go back into. He's still analyzing. And like I said, being a Pharisee, he knows the law. He knows things. He's read. He's taught. But somehow, he's missed the point. He believed Jesus as a teacher of God's words with God's blessings. But he was looking for an explanation that makes sense, an explanation that meets the eye, that he could go away thinking, well, if I do more of this, I will be able to. Because for a Pharisee, it's all about the doing. So they did. They did. They fasted. They prayed hours on end. They learned. They could quote the scriptures back and forth. They were very confident speakers. But they were all about doing, 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 doing. And Jesus was saying, you're missing it, Nicodemus, because you need to look. It's not just about the doing, but it's about doing and looking. How does Jesus do that? Let's check the time. I still have 5 minutes. Right, Jesus does that by going on to say to him, verily, he says it, so he continues to use the words, surely or verily I say to you. And every time Jesus does that, we know that he's trying to grasp the attention of the person or of us. He wants us to carefully consider, carefully reflect, carefully take on board. So he says, no one can enter the kingdom because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. And then he gives the analogy, or he uses this time of Moses and the people of Israel. And he says, look what happened when they were being bitten by the snakes because of the sins that they had committed, because of their unbelief in God. God gave Moses the instruction to do this and hold it up, make this bronze stuff and put a snake on and hold it up. And if people looked up, by just looking. So Jesus is still trying to bring Nicodemus's attention to the fact that it's been in scripture already that we should be so obedient and submissive to God and look up to God rather than look onto us, our strength. Because how many times do we fail because we rely on our strength? How many times will our strength fail us? So many times. On a daily basis, our strength will fail us. But when we look, so today I say to these people today who have chosen to obey, whether you've been a Christian for a long time and you've decided that this is something that I ought to do because it is one of the instructions of Jesus and I want to do it, or whether it's the start of your Christian journey because you've committed and you want to start again and think, what, where are you taking me? What have you got for me? Wherever you're coming from, I want you to look at Jesus because in him we have our being. Many follow blindly because they are looking for signs. They are looking for wonders to prove that God is in the situation. But the beauty of being Christians is that we look at who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Our salvation is just by, it's not just by our ability to do, not our ability to be perfect. And this is one of the reasons why many shy away from making that commitment. Because when they hear the good news, it scares them. Because how can I be a Christian? Because I have to be perfect. Isn't it that you have to be really, really good and you have to be really, really, and you have to do all this and you have to do all that and you have to, and that sometimes scares people away. But I just want to encourage you that you're not going to be perfect. You are going to have to hurdle with certain situations, but there is one thing that makes you perfect: looking, stopping and looking at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In him we have our being. In him we move. Jesus reminds him, you are a teacher, and you do not understand these things? Look back in the book of Genesis. God's spirit is at work. Look back at the prophets. God's spirit was with them. Moses and Joshua had God's spirit with them as they were leading God's people. They couldn't have done it on their own. Moses couldn't have done it on his own. So was Joshua. He was full of courage because God's spirit was with him. And he relied on the Spirit of God. And I think last week, Rachel was speaking about Moses relying on God. Relying on God. There is a difference between relying on our strength and counting on our ability to do and looking up to Jesus. There is a clear difference. Jesus reminded him, David spoke of the Spirit of God working in him, speaking to him. Ezekiel, the prophet, he talked about how the Spirit of God enabled him to prophesy. So Jesus is reminding him, how have you missed it, Nicodemus? You have missed it because it's been here. The prophets have spoken of the Spirit of God. You need to look. You need to look. So today I feel like God is telling us, whether we've been Christians for a long time or whether we are starting our journey, that we will need to look at Jesus. We will need to look up to him. And when we fail, we will not beat ourselves up. We will not give up and walk away in shame and think, that's it, God, I've done, I can't do this. But we will say, I will do it because you are with me. You come with me, Christ, in this situation. So even though I don't have the answers, even though I can't physically, but I just leave it to you. Take me. I have failed you, but you have not left me. Know that he will never leave us, never ever. And as I was preparing this message and I was leaving the final words, there's something that came to me that as a parent, if I don't have houses or things to leave my children, and if I can leave them with the love of Christ, I will be fulfilled. If they can say that there is one thing I remember my mom or my dad saying to me, and that will take them through situations, I am fulfilled, I'm happy, I don't care. Because if you leave them houses, it will crumble sometimes. We are all looking at interest rates very carefully. Is it going to go down? Something going to happen? Because, yeah. But if they have Jesus, they will stand. So let's have a look at these verses there. And I want to leave that with you. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But also in the same Gospel of John chapter 3 where we've just read in verse 16. So Jesus carries on talking to Nicodemus and says, but I have not been sent to condemn the world, but that the world through me will be saved. And so Jesus carries on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that who ever believes in him. So if I've put the words in bold, are words that I want you to pay attention to. That's what I do with my teaching. Right, so when they see the words in bold, they're like, Miss, are we copying the words in bold? I'm like, answer the question, but the words in bold have to be in it. For God so loved the world, whoever. Sometimes we humans, we put limits on who can, but Jesus says whoever. It doesn't matter if they can quote verses. It doesn't matter if they can read the whole Bible back to front. It doesn't matter. As long as they believe, you will not perish. Eternal life. And then finally, this verse I love so much because I had a second baptism after I was baptized in the Catholic Church. I used to live with my uncle on holidays and he was a pastor. And one day he says, have you been baptized? And I said, yes. So we talked about it, and then I said, yes, I want to be baptized again. So we went to, because we lived in a coastal town, city, so he took me to the sea, and I had a second baptism. But I looked up to him so much because he was such a man who loved God so much. His conversations to us was all about Jesus. One day I asked him, like, have you met Jesus? Like, were you there when Jesus was? He talks about him as if he met him. He was so like, Jesus, when Jesus, I'm like, how is he talking like that? Jesus wasn't around in your time. But this is something. He says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And then David says, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for food. So when we make this decision, sometimes it might not look like, but there is one thing we are assured of, which is that he will never, ever desert us. We have to keep looking Amen.